From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Robbie Feinberg with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, April 17th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Two controversial gun control measures have received final approval in the legislature after narrowly passing both chambers on Wednesday. One will ban the sale in Maine of bump stocks and other mechanical or electronic devices that allow a semi-automatic firearm to function more like a machine gun. A second bill that passed the Senate on Wednesday by a single vote will require gun buyers to wait 72 hours before picking up their firearms from a licensed dealer. Opponents said the 72-hour waiting period would not have prevented last October's mass shooting in Lewiston that left 18 dead. But supporters, like Democratic Senator Ann Carney of Cape Elizabeth, predicted that the delay will help deter impulsive decisions that can end in suicide or homicide.
This legislation doesn't look backwards. It looks forward at how we can prevent suicide and harmful behavior going forward.
The votes in both chambers were largely along party lines, with most Democrats in support and Republicans universally opposed. The Maine House has voted to provide a tax break to the Portland Sea Dogs baseball team for renovations at Hadlock Field. The team would be granted $2 million in tax credits spread over 15 years to primarily aid in the construction of a new player clubhouse. That's to meet the mandatory standards set by Major League Baseball. Maura Pillsbury is an analyst at the Maine Center for Economic Policy and opposes the bill. While Hadlock Field is owned by the City of Portland, Pillsbury says the renovations stand to primarily benefit the privately owned team, not the public.
If the City of Portland was creating a budget and they were deciding where to invest money, they wouldn't be making these upgrades to Hadlock Field. These upgrades are coming from the MLB, which is, again, a highly profitable big organization. It just makes it all the more confusing why they need to ask for public funds, really, to make private profits.
Diamond Baseball Holdings, a private equity-backed holding company, purchased the Sea Dogs in 2022. In a near-unanimous vote, the Belfast City Council ended its bid to take land by eminent domain to accommodate the proposed Nordic Aqua Farms project. Carol Bousquet reports.
The proposed fish farm has pitted neighbor against neighbor, riled conservation groups, and put city officials on the defense. In 2021, the city council took intertidal land by eminent domain that Nordic Aqua Farms needed for its project, triggering legal challenges that culminated Tuesday night in the council's vote to vacate its order taking the land. Jill Howell, president of Upstream Watch, is a Nordic opponent.
We don't really know quite what it means for all of our other litigation, and especially as it relates to the state permits as of right now.
The Department of Environmental Protection says that it received a petition to revoke the Nordic permits Wednesday morning, but the licensee must be granted a hearing before the commissioner can act. Howell says the appeal of several local zoning board permits remains in limbo as well. A call to Nordic was not returned by airtime. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Carol Bousquet.
Mainers will vote this fall on a new $30 million bond to invest in trails across the state. Both the Maine House and Senate have overwhelmingly approved the measure, and a spokesperson for Governor Janet Mills says she will sign it. If approved by voters this November, the bond would spend $30 million over 4 years to design, develop, and maintain motorized, non-motorized, and multi-use trail projects. The funds would be matched by other public and private sources. Supporters have said the bond comes at a crucial time for the state, as many trails were damaged by recent storms, and communities say the funds would help spark more growth in the outdoor recreation industry. Maine's Passenger Rail Authority wants to build a new train station in Portland. Executive Director Patricia Quinn says the new facility would have two tracks.
Having a platform on each side with a tower and a structure that connects with the pedestrian access, and having that structure really house the passenger amenities and facilities, so we don't need a big footprint outside.
Currently, Downeaster trains going to and from Boston and Brunswick make a 15-minute detour off the main line to reach the current station at Thompson's Point. Quinn estimates a new station will cost between $25 million and $30 million to acquire some land and build the facility. The Passenger Rail Authority will have to approve final plans and find the needed funding. The authority is hosting a virtual public presentation on options for the new site on Wednesday evening. A link is posted on its website. Immigration has become one of the most divisive issues this election year. But many economists and business leaders say the country's future economic growth hinges in large part on increased participation in the labor force. In Maine, some sectors have heavily relied on immigrant labor for years, while others are training new arrivals for in-demand jobs in emerging industries. Ari Snyder reports.
Our inverter is going to take the DC power, right, to AC. Yeah. Why is that? What do our houses run off of?
At Revision Energy's South Portland office, a group of pre-apprentices are reviewing the basics of solar panel installation.
Right? PV modules are making DC, so we've got to somehow turn that into something that the rest of the grid can use, right?
The solar energy company offers this free 8-week introductory course in partnership with Portland Adult Education. It's one way of expanding the state's clean energy labor pool, says Revision's workforce specialist Astrid Blanco.
One of our biggest challenges have been really licensing and having enough folks to do the work that we do.
This program is geared toward multilingual learners, and Blanco says all 10 students in this class are immigrants. Jinga Monish Talana, a telecommunications engineer from Angola, says he jumped at the opportunity to advance his career while waiting for his work permit to arrive.
And when I came here, I heard about the renewable energy program, and I found so exciting.
Talana says he's always been interested in renewable energy and that the course material builds on his prior experience.
Electrical engineering, the basic of electrical engineering is almost the same.
Talana is among the growing population of immigrants joining the U.S. workforce just at a time when many economists say they are most needed. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office estimates that immigration could fuel $7 trillion in GDP growth over the next decade. The CBO says that larger labor pool could also result in an additional $1 trillion in tax revenue. Few states in the country need that boost more than Maine.
Our workforce has really been stagnant for about a decade.
Patrick Woodcock is the president of the Maine State Chamber of Commerce. He says the state will have to balance a simple demographic equation: too many workers leaving the labor force and not enough workers coming in. And that poses a challenge for businesses looking to grow here.
How can we make sure that this company, this business can survive this next generation if we don't have that pipeline of workers to come in for entry roles, move to leadership ranks?
Woodcock says one way to address the issue is to welcome more people to Maine, either from other states or other countries. And he says the current political debate too often ignores the historical economic contributions of immigrants in Maine and across the country.
So I think we get lost in this narrative for against immigration. I think everybody should be pro-immigration if they look at the record of what our country has developed. It's inspiring.
Immigrant labor is already critical to several iconic Maine industries. At Luke's Lobster's processing facility in Saco, workers use small metal picks to extract slivers of meat from the crustacean's leg sockets. Co-founder Ben Conniff says with the high price of lobster, every bit counts.
Any edible meat that you leave in there and that you waste, really damaging to your ability to make money on lobster.
About 100 people work at the plant, processing 5 million pounds of lobster annually. Conniff says 3/4 of the plant's employees are immigrants, continuing a long-standing trend.
New Mainers have been the backbone of the lobster processing industry in Maine, I think, since it began, really, in the 1980s.
Conniff says maintaining a consistent labor force at the plant is key to the whole industry.
So if processors can't find people to help them actually do the work of processing, then that directly hits the demand for Maine lobster products and the overall lobster market.
Our last couple of pages are really here to help out our teams during the install.
At Revision Energy, the electrical trainees are approaching the end of their 8-week course. The company says it hopes to be able to hire some students from this group and refer the rest to other companies. Whether at Revision or elsewhere, Jinga Monish Talana says he's committed to a career in clean energy.
The world is moving towards a safe environment, towards renewable energy, and that's why I wanted to be part of this challenge.
Talana says he expects to get his work permit in the next few months, then begin a 4-year apprenticeship to get his electrician's license. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
Starting a family can be both exciting and daunting, with big changes in routines and little sleep. But for many LGBTQ couples, new parenthood can bring the additional stress of securing parental rights. Maine's new confirmatory adoption law is easing those burdens. And as Esther Pratt Kiley reports, LGBTQ couples say it's providing protection and affirmation for their families in a way that's not happening in most other states.
What's inside?
It's gonna be a baby dinosaur. Mommy and baby.
Bridget and Maddie Black are playing with their 2-year-old son Bennett at their home in Saco, hiding toy dinosaurs in plastic eggs. Joy explodes across Bennett's face when he finds his favorite.
Pterodactyl!
Maddie and Bridget are married, and they conceived of Bennett with the assistance of a sperm donor. Maddie gave birth to Bennett in January of 2022.
He calls me Momo.
And I'm Mama.
Bridget is listed as a parent on Bennett's birth certificate, but after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, the couple feared that a conservative shift could erode rights for LGBTQ people, including Bridget's parenting rights.
As the non-gestational carrier, I just felt like I had to do whatever it took to secure parent rights to Bennett. So, you know, there's never any question or nobody can take those parent rights away from me.
The couple decided that Bridget should get a second parent adoption decree. Bridget says the judge presented unnecessary obstacles during the process, asking Bridget and Maddie to get background checks, even though it wasn't required for both. And their sperm donor had to complete an affidavit saying Bridget was Bennett's parent, despite already having a contract.
He's not involved as a parent in any way. So, you know, that just feels like redundant and frustrating and kind of insulting.
Other Maine families report facing similar hurdles in court and say that some judges even required waiting periods and home inspections. While these are normal steps for a standard adoption, LGBTQ parents say they are unnecessary and invasive hoops to jump through to adopt their own child.
You know, it kind of felt like I was just a fresh, like I was a step parent coming in to like adopt a child who, you know, like I'm kind of relatively new to the picture. Whereas like I've been the Bennett's parent since the very beginning, you know, we dreamed Bennett, we conceived him. It just felt like a situation that maybe didn't quite apply to what I was doing.
In October, a new law went into effect in Maine that streamlines the process of securing legal parenting rights for LGBTQ couples using assisted reproduction. It's called confirmatory adoption.
It removes some of the burdens that previously existed.
Portland attorney Eviana Englert says the new law just requires families to submit a few forms in county probate court and pay a $65 filing fee.
It becomes a lot more accessible for people and to be able to get that safety and security of an adoption decree in a way that's a lot more affordable.
Maine is in the minority of states on this issue. Legal parenting rights for the non-biological parent are still not guaranteed in many parts of the country.
You know, in the past year, a number of state courts have stripped a marital LGBTQ parent of their parentage, right? So a court in Oklahoma, a court in Pennsylvania, a court in Idaho said a child born into an LGBTQ marriage is not the child of the non-biological parent. That is very frightening. But if you have an adoption, you are totally secure to your child.
Polly Crozier is the director of family advocacy at GLBT Legal Advocates and Defenders. Crozier says while Maine has been a leader in providing legal rights for LGBTQ parents, many families still want an adoption decree, which protects them when they travel to another state.
People do worry, and unfortunately, worst case scenarios happen, and you get challenged. I mean, I myself have been challenged at an airport, right? Where's your children's father? It's like, nope, I'm going to pull out my adoption decree, pull out my marriage certificate, pull out their birth certificates. You know, I think many people don't understand that for many LGBTQ parents, there's really that feeling of anxiety and fear quite a bit.
For attorney Eviana Englert, who just gave birth in February, the confirmatory adoption process provides security.
it sends a really clear message. You are just as much of a family as everyone else in this state, and you deserve the same rights and protections. It makes like my family feel really seen.
Momo's classic. Ooh, Bennett, this macaroni is so yummy.
Bridget and Maddie Black say they want to have another baby someday. And Maddie says the new law provides relief.
It does feel a bit like a weight coming off our shoulders to be like, it's cheaper and it's easier. And there's less question of like, is some judge going to say no to her adopting her own child?
Maine is just the 8th state in the country to pass a confirmatory adoption law. At least one state, New York, currently has a pending confirmatory adoption bill. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Esther Pratt-Kiley.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. I'm Robbie Feinberg. Thank you for listening.